Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
All right, 9:44, 16 till 10. David Hammer joins us, WWL Louisiana investigative reporter. He was on with us earlier this week to talk about the governor and his public records bill. I know Devin Bartolotto reporting that Heather Cloud said she was going to rework the bill. Jeff Landry doubling down yesterday, referring a local TV station reporting that it was similar to you don't want to go into a restaurant and see how the food is cooked. And I said, well, yeah, I kind of do, especially if the chef is trying to hide whatever's going on back there. David, this latest activity with the Archdiocese really, I don't guess in a way, would be public records. However, it does go to what's going on behind the scenes that people need to know about, right?
Yeah, well, certainly there's an aspect of it that's public records, because now there is a search warrant that's been issued for the records that the Archdiocese has tried to keep under wraps and keep under seal in bankruptcy court for years and tried to keep away from public view for decades. So, yeah, this does have a public records aspect to it, but I can't even emphasize enough how significant of a development this is. From the moment that Ramon Antonio Vargas, my partner at The Guardian, and I broke the story yesterday that the state police had gotten a search warrant for decades of records on child sexual abuse at the Archdiocese, I started hearing from survivors who said that they've waited for this day for so long that somebody could potentially be held criminally liable be facing criminal charges over this code of silence that has existed for all these years. And we know that the search warrant requests records related to archbishops who knew about this abuse and failed to report it. So this is really, really significant, and it includes communications between church leadership and the Vatican about the child abuse claims facing clergy. And so this is not just the request for records on one priest like Lawrence Hecker, like we've seen recently. This is all of them.
To be clear, Hecker in your interview, and Hecker is the guy that's in jail now. He is in jail, correct or not?
Yes. Well, yeah. He's in jail, but he's in a long-term care facility.
More like a hospital situation?
Exactly. And now, as I reported earlier this week, also with Ramon Vargas, we were able to break the story that the competency report has been filed with the court, and that report says that he is incompetent for now to stand trial, but they recommend that he gets treatment in a mental health facility. So, yeah, that case spawned this case because they were doing a sweeping federal probe back in 2022 where they were looking into situations where priests were taking children across state lines.
That's how the FBI got involved?
Federal crime. That's how the FBI got involved in 2022. Then state police were assisting in that investigation, and state police started to find out about the Hecker case. They broke that off to a state crime because now they've charged him with aggravated rape, aggravated kidnapping, aggravated crime against nature, and theft. And those charges are pending against him. But from that, when they got records related to that investigation from the Archdiocese, they started seeing the documentation of the cover-up, of what leadership in the Archdiocese knew when they knew it and what they failed to report to law enforcement.
And as you say cover-up, I got to go back to this public records thing that Heather Cloud is proposing, and I've not seen any revisions yet. The governor staunchly defends it, but it's the cover-up that causes the problems for people more than the actual offense, and that's why it's important that the public have access to these public records, and you don't just elect officials and entrust them to do the right thing and then just accept their decision. That's not how it works. When it comes
exactly, to, and that, you and I have talked about that previously, that, you know, when we get records that are supposed to be available to all the public, not just reporters, but when we get those records and we see that there's a cover-up going on or corruption going on, that's when those cases get exposed and people get punished.
When it comes to Hecker himself, because I was watching yesterday your interview with him that was done back in August, right? And he seemed
correct.
He seemed to be of sound mind and body, an older man certainly, but now we got the DA, Jason Williams, saying that he's obviously malingering. And that got me to wondering, David, about the importance of him going to trial on this or running out the clock, because he's in a nursing home environment right now, I'm guessing, and if he were to go to trial and be convicted, how would that change, or would he go right back to where he is now?
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, Tommy. I suspect that there will be certain care facilities and treatment available to him if he goes to prison versus being in the Orleans Parish Jail, which is where he's technically residing right now. I don't know exactly where he is at this very moment, but when they transport him to court, he's in an orange jumpsuit. When he is in the long-term care facility, he is under armed guard. We're told by his defense attorneys he's under armed guard. You can't just come in and see him. So it would be, if it's not jail or prison itself, it would be something akin to that.
So the competency report with him, and I want to get back to state police here real quick, but the competency report said that he had short-term memory issues, and that seems to me like you could easily... You know, you're a reporter, you don't want to engage in that, but not being able to answer a question a couple of minutes after, you could easily, I would think, malinger your way through that. But
The report says that it's three words that he was given, and then 3 minutes later he didn't remember any of the three words, and that established a short-term memory loss. There's two conditions for being competent. One is being able to understand the charges against you, which he exhibited that he did. And then there is the ability to assist your counsel. And the psychiatrist said that his short-term memory loss would prevent him from properly assisting his counsel, but he should be reevaluated in the next couple of months, and his recovery from some physical ailments, COVID-19, a urinary tract infection, delirium, would allow him potentially to become competent to stand trial.
So do you know what specifically, besides you're looking for the state police, first of all, let me take a step back. The catalyst for them issuing this search warrant, and have they gone into archdiocesan headquarters? Would this include the archbishop's residence, or do we know any of this?
We expect that they will be meeting with the archdiocese today, probably with the archdiocese lead counsel, Susie Zarang, to identify where the records exist. A lot of these records are going to be digital files, but they may be trying to get physical files that are in a safe or something like that in the offices. We know from canon law that the archdiocese across the world are supposed to keep these types of records under lock and key, so there would we would suspect that they would be able to get access to that at some point when the search warrant is actually executed. So that's what we're expecting that first meeting today, maybe even as we speak, to be happening as they start to gather all of these records. Because this, again, this is voluminous. This is essentially all the records that the church has had going back decades on child sexual abuse by their clergy.
Is destruction of records a concern here at all? Because I know sometimes when law enforcement serves a search warrant, they just go right in. The FBI, it's been well documented on numerous occasions. This is not the FBI, this is state police, to be clear. But I just wonder about that. Is that a concern here?
Well, with digital files, it's probably less of a concern because if there's any kind of footprint that's left of anybody getting rid of anything that's digital, I think that that would be detectable. Certainly, you make reference to, you know, search warrants and raids. The FBI raided the Sewerage and Water Board with no warning, and they just came in and took a bunch. But those were all paper records, remember? So is there special deference being given here in the execution of this search warrant because it's the Archdiocese?
That was the question.
That's a good question. Yep. That's a good question. I mean, they are going through a process where they're certainly giving them time to put the stuff together. But I think that, you know, anybody who would be found to have gotten rid of anything would be facing some serious consequences, you know, contempt of court and criminal charges of destruction of records. So I think that that would, or obstruction of justice. So I think that that would deter that kind of thing from happening, you would hope.
Right. What's next, David, you know?
Well, I mean, this is going to continue to develop over the next several days and weeks. This is a massive undertaking, and Jason Williams, the DA, has made it very clear they want to punish anyone who participated in covering up these crimes.
Thank you, David. Appreciate your time as always and your work and your information. David Hammer, WWL Louisiana investigative reporter. If you missed the Jazz Fest password today, it's Grigri, G-R-I-S-G-R-I-S. You don't need to spell it, though. Just go to WWL.com/contest. Enter that word. You'll see a drop-down menu. It's pretty easy. Grigri, that's a password of the day. Newell will have one later, and then Scoot, and then Sports Talk. And you'll be able to see great acts like Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, and more.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.